Perek Dalet, Mishnah Base.
Now we're still again dealing with tefillah in general prayers. So the previous Mishnah talked about Shachris Mincha Maariv. Now we're going to talk about after you daven Shachris, where do you go? The Beis HaMikdash. So it says, Reb Nechunya ben Hakana, that's his name. I don't see him so much. He's actually a fascinating character. Reb Nechunya ben Hakana is the author of the Bahir, Sefer Bahir. He's referred to by the Ramban. He calls it the Midrash of Rabbi Nechunya. And could be the Bahir is possibly the oldest of the Kabbalistic Svarim. So if you call the Sefer Yetzirah is from Rabbi Akiva, Reb Nechunya ben Hakana was the teacher of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva were Bar Plugta. So Nechunya ben Hakana is from the Kabbalists, let's say. The very first of them. So he Haya Mispalel, he used to pray Bechinisaso the Beis HaMedrash, when he would go into the Beis HaMedrash, Uvi Yitziyaso, and when he'd leave the Beis HaMedrash. A tefillah katzar, a short prayer. He would say tefillah over his learning. Not a bracha, Birchat HaTorah, a separate bracha. So if you look inside your Gemaras or your Mishnayos, you'll see them there. There's a bracha, Yiratzon, you see before and afterwards. But in the halacha, the person should say it. So they asked him, the chacham, ma makum la tefillah zu, like, what gives? Well, it literally means what place is there for this tefillah, but I think idiomatically means like, what are you up to? Amar lahem, he said to them, b'chnisasi, when I come into the Beis HaMidrash, ani mispalel, I pray, shlo te'era tekala al yadi, that a mishap shouldn't happen through my hands. And when I leave the Beis HaMidrash, I give thanks for my portion that I'm able to be amongst those who sit and learn Torah. And this, the Gemara actually asks the actual nusach of the tefillos, from which the poskim learn, the Rush, others, that it's halach l'maisa. So people ought to say it before they learn or not. And the Mishnah Berurah poskins and Siman Kafir that a person should even say these if he's learning at home. It's not totally on the Beis HaMidrash per se. It's on your learning. You say the first bracha is that you should get it right and not botch it up and cause all sorts of people to misunderstand things and make wrong halachas. And then after you should say thanks to God that I have a chance to learn it instead of sitting around all day. And not everyone, as I'm sure you know, can sit and learn at 9 o'clock in the morning in Mishnah Shir. That's some people can't. Even though they like to. So that's the pshat in the bracha. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah Gimel. Now we're talking about the Shemona Esrei itself, the tefillah. Remember, the Anshei Knesset Gedola established that this nusach of these 18 brachos. Of course, Rav Gamliel himself, who's now going to be mentioned in the Mishnah, was misaken 19th bracha, right? Because he lived in the first century, and that was the time of the ascendancy of Christianity, the beginnings of it. And so he made a bracha against the heretics. But they still retain the nusach. They call the Shemona Esrei 18 brachas, despite the fact they're not 19 brachas. In either case, in the good old days, there were no siddurim, right? The printing press is a 16th, 15th century thing, so not everyone could say it bal peh. That's why we have a chazoras hashat. Someone should say it for you. When you say amen, they'll be motzi you. So the question is now, a person should he l'chachila go and say Shemona Esrei, the full thing, or just can he do an abbreviated version? Because he's not, he'll make a mistake otherwise. So Rabban Gamliel, Omer, b'chol yom, every day, mispal adam shmona esrei. Person should say all 18 brachas, the whole, like we do. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, me'ein shmona esrei. He says, no, you can do a me'ein shmona esrei. Literally, me'ein means like a...
digest.
Yeah, it immediately means a digest. It means like a scaled... Like, you have members model cars, like a scale model. Me'ein means like a scaled down version. But it means it parallels exactly. In fact, the pashas is that where did in Bria, in the good old days, time of Chazal, when did you see such a thing? Where is such a metzias of seeing a mini replica? So the answer is, if you look in someone's eyeball, you look in my eyes, you'll see you just scale down, right? Because it's convex. So that's me'ein from the eye, that's the mini version. Contractive version. Okay, so he said, you don't say the whole Shemona Esrei, you do a condensed version. And the Rav and Shmuel of the Machlok is like, what's the condensed version? Either it means that, like we said before about Eli Yikatzer, remember, if you remember your Baal Keri, you just say the beginning and end of each bracha. And there's another, the machlok is either that, so you condensed Shemona Esrei, easier to remember, or that you say the first three and the last three, those have to be said ketiknua, as they're meant to be said, and then there's a middle seventh bracha, which includes all those brachas. It's called Havinenu. Now, to my great personal distress, I can't find my Maseches brachas. Can't find them. I'm in my Aliyah. I don't know. It's missing. It's making me aggrieved. So I couldn't actually look it up just to get the Nusach exactly down. But the Havinenu, I don't have it handy. But, oh, Taka. I see it right in front of my eyes here in the Kahati. So the bracha is, and some posts can bring this to the halacha, by the way, that you say, Havinenu Hashem Elokeinu Ladas Darkecha. Hashem, let us understand your ways. So that's the connected, of course, the Chunin Ladas. Omol Aveinu Lirecha, and circumcise our hearts to fear you. Fetislach Lanu Lios Gulim. See, each clause is like the three words or so paralleling each bracha like that. That's how the Havinenu bracha goes. Now, and that you be yilti, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's all you have to do. We should open the windows, I think, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if someone gets hot, that's one can run downstairs. The air. That's it. It's a lose-lose proposition. I'm not getting involved. I'm a non-partisan. I think so. Let's see.
It won't
work. When I speak, I get hot. I schwitz no matter what happens. So I can't. I'm not a. Everyone's gotten stuff in here. Maybe if we turn the AC on low and keep the windows open, that will regulate a more regular temperature. Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay, so can we try that? Would you mind just asking any of the likely... would you mind? Okay, sorry, Donnie, got it. Thank you very much, Donnie. Okay, so... fine, so that's the machlokas. Rabbi Akiva, who's in the middle, often in the middle here, Omer, im shagur tefilaso befiv, if the tefillah is like fluent... The partial translated as it flows out of your mouth, so then you're not afraid you'll mess it up because you say it so many times. Then you use Pal Shemona Esrei, do the whole thing in full, like Rabban Gamliel, Vim Lav, Mein Shemona Esrei, then do the shortened version that you can handle. Okay, fine. That's, of course, nowadays the whole thing is not Nogea, because nowadays people have Sidurim, and you have to say the Brach, you have to say it like you, in full, of course. Okay, fine. Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'osa Tfilaso Kva, if you make your tefillah, literally means fixed. The Rav explains like a burden, like, you know, a muscle. It's I'll tell you what pshat is. Pshat is, if you're davening because, oh my gosh, it's time to daven, that's already kva. If you hear this, there's a terrible idiom that I'm sure I'm guilty of. Anyways, maybe others you know are. They say, you know, oh, I have to go daven now. That's already kva. Because remember, tefillah, the emes, has nothing to do with the fixed words. Tefillah is a relationship with Hashem, speaking to Hashem, supplicating to Hashem, asking for mercy from Hashem. Chazal were misaf in a particular nusach, but if you say the nusach but don't have the hergish, don't feel what you're saying, you're not actually talking to Hashem, so then it doesn't really count. And that's the mission here says, Ein tefilaso tachanunim. Yeah, you prayed in a technical term, you said the words, but you didn't do a proper supplication. And the kitzur, the most of the poskim, Beis Yosef, others, say you're not even yotzi. I want you to hear that. If you don't daven like you mean it, I don't know if you say I have to go daven, that's not a psul, of course. But if you daven by rote, let's say, so then you're not yotzi. Even though we're afraid of those who say you are yotzi, we're not going to go, people don't daven a second time. But that should give you pause to daven right the first time. Some learner actually also means the actual tone of your voice. You're not like, you know, demanding of Hashem. Okay? You say it with a hachna, with a sort of humility. If I understand correctly, say there's no going back. Anyways, as far as I understand, the reason why is because even though you should go back, Ikra din, because you weren't yotzi. You missed the first bracha. You went dimit kavana for the first bracha. Do it again. The fear is that, you know, you won't have kavana again and again and again all day long. You're not gonna have kavana, so better just don't do it. I think that's the halacha lemaisa how they paskin. You don't say it a second time if the reason why you weren't yotzi the first time is because of a lapse in kavana. Because I guess for mishar you'll do it. You'll likely do it again. Of course, if you miss out a bracha or you miss out, you know, Yalav Yavo and so on, and you have to go back and do it again, you say it from scratch, fine. But you want Yotzi. But if you just the kavanah problem, it's like the worst of both worlds. You have to say the tefillah, but you're not really yelty at saying tefillah, but you can't do it again. Okay, so there you go. Take it seriously here. So, but the point is here that davening, even though there's all sorts of fixed times and fixed words, has to be tachnunim like you mean it. This always, by the way, bothers Bali Tshuva. I heard it for the last 3 years. I didn't explain for his services Yom Narayim, and people walk down the street, they don't come to shul except once a year. This is the main question to ask. How does this relate to Hashem? It's say, I'm saying someone else's words. It's a reasonable question, and it's a question that should bother us, because you should be talking to Hashem. Everyone knows, Mr. Brewer, they say you put in your own words also, which you should do, in your own language. But the mashal I always told people, which I think is a good mashal, if you know from music, you the composer wrote a fixed piece, and there's a score, and you have no choice but to, you know, if you're playing Beethoven, it's Beethoven, and there's no wiggle room, really. But if you listen to every composer and every orchestra, it's like a different piece. I mean, within boundaries, it sounds different. Because if you're playing a piano, you're playing a sonata, let's say. So if the piano is an extension of you, not if you're practicing learning where to put your fingers, but if you're really a proper facile player, so then it's your soul pouring the music, and it sounds different because it's you through the same very notes, the same very words, but it's your soul expressing, your personality expressing. That's how tefillah is meant to be. You hear that? In other words, in your mind, you should think you want das for your particular reasons to understand what you want to understand because of your particular importance and so on and so forth. So you should pour those kavanas for your particular situation into the tefillahs. That's, you know, in a that's how you be yoga, saying a personal prayer even using the words that someone else's nusach, so to speak.
Yourself better playing Beethoven than playing any bunch of notes you could put together yourself.
Indeed, once you're really a piano player, exactly. So that's why. By the way, I think it's why many the Gra and others say it's important that you know your tefillah bal peh ready, because then you're not, you know, if you know, like the Zilberman is over there in the old city, they didn't daven use a sitter at all. Even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they daven without a sitter, because they say if you're busy saying someone else's words, then you're too busy reading for daven. You know what I mean? It has to be that this isn't the words that are the vehicle to carry your particular.
But la halacha is the exact opposite.
La halacha?
The only way to have true kavanah is by looking at the words.
It's a machlokas. Big machlokas to the very end.
Shut your eyes.
If the way to go is to read every word inside, like the Arizal said, you ought to, and he did, I don't know if he said he ought to, because it was a segula for kavana. Others say daf, you shouldn't. It's a machlokas, bottom line, la halacha. I think the person said, well, one of us actually said it a few nights ago, last month, I think, that everyone should do what's best for their kavana. Some people find it better to have kavana to close their eyes and daven, some people say better to read every word. Whatever works for you, you ought to do. But certainly if you find yourself from that, you close your eyes but your mind wanders, then you gotta go to plan B, which is to hold your sitter and follow the words along. Yeah. Alright, fine, very good. So, we're in the middle of Mishnah Daled here. So, we're now in a new point. Okay? Now we're talking about what happens if you have to daven. The time has come. You have to daven, like the expression we said. Yeah, but you can't because you're in a makom sakana, for example. They're going to get you. You're right. It's dangerous to start davening now. So what do you do? Mispel. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Hamahalach b'makom sakana." If you're walking in a place that's dangerous, mispel tefillah katsara. Just say a short tefillah. Now, this isn't even havinenu, a shortened one. This is even less than that. Right? It's simply the words here. You see, Hosha Hashem es amcha. Save Hashem, save your people. I think it's a pasuk out of Yirmiyah, I think. Eish Te'eres Yisrael, like the leftover, the remnants of Israel. B'chol Parsha Se'ibur, this expression Parsha Se'ibur is a stomper. The Rav will go with, it's from Parsha, from the Paresh, to move away, to be an Ibur from Lashon Avera, to be like whenever, even when Jews are running from you and doing sins, still you tzarchehem lefanecha, let their needs be before you.
This you're in the makom sakana. This is in lieu of
in lieu of davening. Yeah, I don't mean you have to. You don't have to be davening.
You come
engaging your life.
You kind of where
the sun is setting. It's getting dark. You're in the wilderness, and the longer you wait, the more chance you are of being lost in the dark. So you just say this one sentence and keep on going.
Did you daven later?
Great question. Exactly right. So the answer is, this bracha, you're not you got to daven again later. So you're a placeholder. You didn't miss the davening, so to speak, but you're not really yield to davening. And when you get to a place that you're calm again and can have kavana, then you could do it. The Rambam, by the way, seems to learn in the Perish Mishnayos that this applies. You say this pasuk whenever you can't daven because you're otherwise occupied. In other words, and along with the first part of the Mishnah, maybe he's saying as far as, you know, it's whatever, you're in the middle of doing your work, you're reading emails and your head's there, and you know if you daven now, all you're thinking of is your emails. So then he says, don't kid yourself, don't daven now, say this pasuk with kavana and get to mind something you could, and then daven properly again. That's the Rambam learns, not just sakana. That's an far out, right?
But that's okay, but you've missed, you know, by saying this, and then you go on, okay, you're in a makam sakana, okay, but by the time you get out of the makam sakana, you've missed the, okay,
it's
so
a
what you're
room.
Saying then is string it behind Mark.
That's right. Like no,
like you would do if you
exactly right.
And didn't say that.
Exactly right.
Just like you missed the shogay. Because what? Yeah, but you're gonna get a chance to daven again. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Good. Oh, and the chasima, the bracha is bracha tashem shomei tefillah. Who hears prayer? Okay, fine. Mishnah Hey. Now this Mishnah is talking about the direction, the way in which you posture yourself to daven. Yet, as we know, you have to face towards, if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you face to Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael you face Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim you face towards the base of English, in the base of English you face towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So good, you have to face that direction, right? What happens if you can't? So the Mishnah starts, Hayrochav al Chamor, if you're riding on your donkey and you're facing the wrong direction, so then the Yered, stop, get off your donkey and daven in the right direction, right? If you can't get off, maybe because of sakana, whatever it is, then yachzeres panav, just turn your body to face Yerushalayim. If you can't even turn your body, so then simply yachaven as libo, direct your heart. Kivun is direct, right? Like kavana means directing your consciousness. Yachaven as libo, direct your heart. Keneged base, kodesh hakadoshim. Yeah, because that's where you're davening anyway. That's where you're supposed to be davening anyways, in terms of conceptually. A person's supposed to actually imagine themselves facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not really the Pesukim say that Hashem speaks to us, and we reciprocate through the between the Chruvim. That's what the Tefillah's Nevuah comes out. The Tefillah's go in. But I didn't see it anymore. But I speculate it's true. That we don't say daven towards a kruvim because you know what, that's going to end up happening. You're going to imagine the kruvim, that's usher. Okay, so you daven towards a kodesh hakadoshim, right? And that's it. But the point is, for sure, you're meant to be imagining yourself facing there. The Rambam just says, typical Rambam, literally means think towards Hashem, the one who lives in the kodesh hakadoshim, so to speak. But not literally that you're facing, but everyone else thinks. So it's a face, you think yourself as facing in the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Beis HaMikdash, and towards the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yeah. Okay? So now, Mishnah Vav, continuing on the same theme, Hayosha B'Sfina, you're sitting in a boat, and you don't know, let's say, that's the Meiri's Pshat, I think, you don't know which direction you're supposed to be facing. You're disoriented, or you can't, we'll tip the boat over, whatever it is. Over Karon, Karon is like a wagon. Similar problem, you can't stand up and get around and tip it over, you're disoriented, don't know which, you're on the bus, you don't know which way is on the airplane, don't know which way you're supposed to be facing, whatever it is. Oba Asda, and Asda is the Rav learned it as a raft. Okay? There's a Rashi that says that the Asda is the stocks, you know, like a person's been put like their head and arms in like prison. So again, so you can't redirect your person because you're immobilized. Or if you're right, exactly. So then, according to that, the Meiri says like that. There's like big. The Meiri says the Asta is a boat, taka boat. It's just a little boat, and Sfina's a big boat. Okay. I don't have a real good answer to the question. Like, why we need three examples here? I don't know really, to be honest. And the Gemara doesn't really discuss it. Doesn't deal. Whatever it is, I guess probably because these are all very very common cases. This is probably Maisa B'chol Yom. Not just a principle, like this really happened all the time.
I see a combination of
that.
You can't stand
up. Yeah, there's two issues. There's disorientation, and there's also like you not being able to move physically, I guess. Well, do you need three cases? I'm not sure.
not sure. I don't think, if I remember it, the Gemara, it's not like a Gemara which says, why do you two, why do you three, two would be enough. I don't remember that being the case. So then, what do you do? You have an asleep book connected base, cut a shekadashim. So then, direct your heart towards it. You know, it's, you imagine yourself facing there. That's all you can do. I think the most common case on today is on airplanes. You're on the airplane, you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, so you're definitely facing the wrong direction, but you can't get up, right? So, you're davening with your heart facing, you leave your heart behind your shalom. Okay. Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, excuse me, Elazar ben Azariah, remember he was in the end of the first parak, the young man that turned old. You know, this Mishnah is a little confusing, but I'm going to say it to you outside first, it won't be confusing at all. Okay? There's two separate sets of moving parts. There's a three machlokas over Musaf. If Musaf is something that's only for a Tzibur or even for a Yachid, that's one question. Do you need, is Musaf something that even a Yachid could say? Since the Musaf is really a Korban Tzibur, does it need the you need to do it in a minion, right? And there'll be a third opinion, which is, okay, but that's one moving part. And there's a second moving part, which is actually what Rav Elazar ben Azariah said. Okay, so now you're going to see the pieces. First, of the Stam Tana Kama says Rav Elazar ben Azariah said, "Ein tilas musafin el bechever ir." You don't have a musaf except in a minion. No minion, no musaf. Okay, like kedusha and so. I mean, for different reasons, but that's the idea. Okay, so, and I guess honestly, in kedusha, even though the halakhos aren't the same, but of course you daven biyachidus, you just don't say kedusha, you missed out. Yeah, too bad. Okay? So that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And the Chacham Omrim, they argue, they say bechever ir or shlo bechever ir. Whether you have a chever ir, literally means like a group of the city. It means a minion, okay? I think in those days probably there was mostly just many towns was just like one minion per town. That was like whatever it is. The chever ir means a minion. Ushlo bechever ir, even if not with the minion, even if you're davening by yourself, you have to say musaf. So far, everything's crystal clear. Here's the confusing part. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda said in his name, the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? Kol makom shiesh chever ir, if you're living in a town that there is a minion, hayachid patma tefillas musafin, then the yachid doesn't have to say it or can't say it, shouldn't say it, doesn't say it, because the minion will say it. The main shul minion will say it. The difference between the first opinion and third opinion, two versions of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is if a yachid has to say it or should say it or could say it if there's a minion anyways. So you hear, so again, according to Tana Kama, the first version of Elazar ben Azariah, only it's forbidden for a yachid to say it, period. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, a yachid has to say it if the tzibur isn't poter him. Okay. Well, so again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the third opinion said that he says that the din is kol makom sheyesh chever ir. If there's a minion in town, the yachid is pater from tefillas musafin, and the yachid doesn't daven. So if there is a minion, the yachid doesn't daven. But if there isn't a minion, you're out camping, then you would daven musaf.
You're saying there's a yachid, he can't, for
whatever
reason, get to the minion.
They're potter him. That's right,
they're potter
him,
he doesn't have to daven by himself.
He doesn't have to daven musaf by himself.
Oh, so
he's done. No musaf.
If the base of mikdash is being mocked with musaf, you wouldn't have to say it. So if the tzibur is being mocked with musaf, you
wouldn't. That's right, they're saying it for you. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Stam version in the beginning, was saying, no, musaf is a tziburi activity, and the yachid just doesn't have anything to do with it.